You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a spirit takes over a backyard shed, tearing it up as a hurricane came through. What kind of entity has that sort of power? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you, of course, can always get those bonus episodes. We have brand new ones for you every single week and an archive of more than 300 of them to binge away on. If you're an EPP, an extra podcast person, as a supporter of the show, in addition to the bonus episodes, you get advanced episodes of the show, commercial free. You get our whole archive. You get our ebook, our audiobook, and it's only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up for that. Or if you prefer Patreon, same stuff is on Patreon too, patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up. If you do an annual membership, which is now available on both platforms, you get 1 month free. So choose whatever you like. We greatly appreciate it. That's what helps support the show and keeps it on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And hello, Carol. Oh, I got to unmute you. There we go. Ah, press the button. Hi.
I'm here.
You're there. How are you this fine day?
I'm good. So I wanted to ask you about this, and I'm assuming you talked about this maybe in an episode with Jen.
Okay.
You posted a video.
Yeah.
Of the girls. You guys went out, like, looking around the farm, and there's some old building or something, and there was something kind of creepy that the girls caught on video?
Yes. It was not on the farm. It was nearby. It was over at the Prairie Grove Battlefield, and it was the crawl space beneath an old schoolhouse that was over there that had been moved from another location in the area. And it was yesterday. We were just out for a walk on a Sunday afternoon, the three of us, and just enjoying fall. And we weren't like ghost hunting or anything like that, but they know there's ghost stories in that battlefield and stuff. And they had their cameras on their phones, and they were just trying to look for creepy places to take pictures. Go figure where they would get that idea. And Livy rolled tape on just underneath the schoolhouse. I always just take stills. I very rarely do video unless I'm doing like a something with me talking on it. And she taped that, and then she pulls it back and takes a look at it. And yeah, there's like two shadows that clearly go past this camera in this crawl space. And I have no explanation other than I think it's a ghost or two ghosts, and it would make sense. I mean, it's a very haunted area. But bravo to her. She came on the episode that would have aired yesterday. And we talked about it on the air too, talking about what we experienced. So if you didn't listen to that episode yet, it's the previous day's episode. The video is on Facebook. It's on our Instagram, and it was posted around October 4th of 2020. In case you're listening to this in like the year 2030, you got to scroll way the fuck back. And that's where it is if you want to see it. But yeah, it was legitimately creepy. Yeah. And I was like, at first I thought, well, did you move the camera? Because there were some grates there. But when the shadows go by, the camera is completely still. It's not moving. Had the camera been moving, my argument would have been, well, it's the little grates that are casting the shadow. But the camera is not moving. It's when it's finally still that suddenly these shadows go from left to right across the screen, and two of them do it. And it's a weird thing to see. It looks like other videos I've seen of shadow people and things like that. There's like depth to it. There's different layers of the darkness of the shadow. I have no other explanation other than I'm convinced she caught shadow people on that video.
It's creepy.
It is.
You know, because it was like, it was just the three of you. So it wasn't like anybody would have walked behind
nope.
her. Cast a shadow.
Now, me and Harp were actually already, we were kind of like on the other side of the building when she was finishing that up. And because she initially thought too, well, maybe it was the two of us right behind her. And she's like, guys, and we were already like 20 feet away. So it wasn't us. And there was nobody else there. It was just, yeah, I mean, there's no explanation for it, but we finally caught a creepy video. And so I think it sparked their interest to want to go back and try and capture more there, which we'll probably do soon.
Well, you guys do that.
I want to go on the anniversary of the battle.
I didn't watch it before bed. Like, I went to bed and I saw you posted it, and I'm like, it's still tomorrow.
Yeah, I did. I posted it like at 10:30 at night. So yeah, something nice to go to sleep with. Jen's reaction was, you better not have brought anything home with you.
Hey, I'm with Jen.
Yeah. Like, pretty sure we didn't, but it was creepy. So check that out if you've not seen it yet up there in social media. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, when I was 17, I dated a beautiful girl in Indiana. She had two lovely sisters that lived there too. I became close to the family, and because I lived a few towns away, her parents would let me stay there in separate rooms, of course. Her dad was a heavy drinker and did not mind sharing the house, so we had the habit of staying up after everyone else went to bed and having a few and talking. It was 1985, year of the Chicago Bears Super Bowl shuffle, and it was that winter this incident occurred. We had watched the last regular season game and the girls all went to bed. It was snowing hard and the wind was whipping outside. A few hours after the rest of the house went silent, we heard this terrific banging outside. I ignored it for a while and finally said, "Do you hear that too?" And he said, "You want to see something?" I said I would, and we got our boots and coats on and went outside. It was about 10 degrees out, typical lake effect snow. Now, they lived on the outskirts of town, so it was pitch black outside with knee-high snow in most places. When we turned the corner of his house, you could see the lights on in the neighbor's shed. The shed was at least 60 yards back from the two houses, and there were no homes behind them, just the woods. The light in the shed was swinging, and you could see shadows whipping past the windows. This was a wooden shed that was 12 by 12. There was a banging against all the walls. It was a clattering sound of wood on wood and steel on wood. He said, "Come on." We walked along silently with the only sound being the wind and this clatter. It became obvious the shadows were from the tools. The tools were flying around the room and banging against the walls like a mini hurricane inside. Rakes, shovels, sickle, dozens of other smaller items. When he reached the door, he reached for the handle. And the moment he touched it, everything stopped. It was startling. But I was 17 and invincible, and he was drunk brave. The light turned off, and the only sound was the wind. He said, "Show's over." We trudged back inside, and we did not say anything. I remember thinking I could not wait till my girlfriend woke up to tell her, but I did not. I half expected they would be all awake and standing in the living room waiting for us. I dated her for another year before I went into the service, and he never once mentioned it, and I never once asked about it. I ran into her 26 years later and told her that story, and she said he had never told any of them about the shed. It's a creepy story. The haunted shed, that stuff goes on it until it realizes that you're there.
Great. You know I have that murder shed in the back of my house.
Yeah, you do.
Now I'm going to be like, great.
You hear rustling out there at night.
And the funny thing is about my murder shed, because it does look like something that someone might have been murdered in, but I kind of have a fond feeling for it.
Yeah.
I think if I took it down, it would be worse for me.
The person who got murdered in it wanted to die?
Or, you know, it was a friendly murder.
Friendly murder.
But Because when you said 12 by 12, I'm like, that's the size of my shed, I believe. But what the hell? Like, so his girlfriend, I assume it's a guy, the girlfriend didn't know the shed was, the tools in the shed were possessed?
Apparently not. Oh. I mean, it sounds like the dad who would stay up late at night typically was aware of this, had gone out there in the past and had seen this happen, but didn't want to scare his family and never brought it up. But then when he was kind of drunk and the boyfriend was there, he wanted to go. He's like, I can show somebody this. So he went and showed him the fucked up shed.
But it's weird. Like, if he heard it, the banging, but they never heard it.
Yeah.
And the other, this is just me, because I swear the world's just one big conspiracy theory lately. But like, if 26 later, years later, somebody told me, you know, the house that you lived in with the murder shed, there were tools that would fly around in there, I'd be like, no, there wasn't. Yeah, your dad took me out there. Bullshit.
It'd be quite
I don't know that I'd believe it.
It'd be quite a story to hear 26 years later.
Yeah, I'd be like, you and my dad were drunk.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I don't know that I would just be like, dad never told me that. I think I would question, did that really happen?
Yeah. I think I would be more freaking out. I'm just thinking of all of the fathers of the girls that I dated at that age. If they were leading me out to a shed in 10 degree weather in the middle of the night, I don't think ghosts would not be what I would be thinking about at the moment. I'd be thinking he's going to fucking kill me in the shed. So
they have a murder shed.
Yeah. So I guess kudos to him for having the relationship there with the father that didn't feel like murder was on the itinerary. But
or maybe the dad had some weird thing, like some fan in there hooked up, and like it was all like not real. Like he made it all happen with fans or something, just to make the kid feel threatened.
So instead, it's like the old cleaning my gun song, but instead of cleaning the gun in front of the boyfriend, he just makes the shed appear possessed. And
yeah, I think that makes sense, right?
That would be a very weird, strange change. If was it Rodney Atkins? Who did that song? Rodney Atkins?
Rodney Atkins.
Cleaning my gun? Was that what it was called? It would be very, if you change the lyrics, it'd be like, taking him out to the possessed shed. It wouldn't work for country radio. So I'm glad they stuck with the cleaning my gun. But hey, there's another option that might get you in less trouble where someone couldn't say, I think he's threatening me with a weapon, threatening me with a possessed shed. There you go. Dad.
I mean, how does that, it just is weird to me. It's like, okay, knock it off in there, tools.
Yeah.
And you just walk back to the house and go get another beer or something. What the hell was that shit?
It's like he's talking to him like the cartoon Handy Manny, where it's like all about tools and construction equipment, and they're all animated and they talk and everything. But it's in real life. Yeah. It's
that's crazy shit.
The imagery I really loved, just a creepy idea. And I mean, because, you know, you think of winter, I think a lot of times, unless you're like, you know, from the areas of shitloads of snow all the time, you know, you think of winter and outside and nighttime and it's kind of peaceful and pretty and serene. It can be cold and creepy as shit, too. And I've had many times just walking outside late at night in the cold and just some of the more creepier nights than warm summer nights. And there's a
snow up to your knees.
Yeah. There's an element to that that makes it even scarier, just because like you trip, you fall or something, you can't get up. You're going to freeze to death right there. It's not like, you know.
Dad wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Dad would be like, Tools, you shut up. And then the next day he'd be like, I did what? I took him out where?
Tools didn't do that shit. What are you talking about, boy? Yeah, be fucked up. But no. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It would be even better if she's like, my dad died before we were even dating. I don't know who you were staying up and drinking with at night. That would be... That's the that's what you should have said at the grocery store. Let's go to our next story. It says, so my story starts when I was little in South Wales. My parents bought a brand new house on plots that had been allotments from wartime up until they were bought by a developer, built on the end of a Victorian street of miners' housing. They were two-story houses overlooking the valley with a typical British layout of kitchen, living, dining rooms downstairs, and three bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs. My mother was pregnant with me when they moved in and did not remember any activity happening until I was about 10 years old. I always felt like I was being watched, especially when I was in my room. My mother always told me I was silly, as no one had lived in the house before us, so it could not possibly be haunted. The activity started escalating when I became a teenager. Things going missing only to turn up in different places. Noises such as creaking floorboards, but most things that could be explained away. On Sunday, Mom was preparing Sunday dinner when the hobs turned on by themselves and burnt the bottom of the saucepans. I always felt like someone was watching me when I sat on my stereo. I often sit recording songs from the radio, desperately trying to cut the DJ out. My door would open and I would turn to talk to my mother, but no one was there. This happened often, even with the streetlight shining in from outside. I would never turn the lights off in that house. The final and scariest event happened when I was about 17 years old. My bedroom was designed in a way that wardrobes framed my bed, which jutted out in the middle of the room. One night I was awoken from the deep sleep to find a woman sat on the side of my bed. I felt the depression of the bed where she sat, which woke me up. She had long chocolate brown curly hair, which covered her face. She wore a thick puff sleeve cotton blouse with a tan-colored suede skirt and matching waistcoat. She did not look at me, nor did she say anything. She just sat there. I tried to convince myself that she was a part of the dream that I had not entirely woken up from, but she did not disappear. Filled with fear, I managed to untangle the blankets from my feet and run to my parents' room screaming. I refused to sleep in that room for a week, but I could not shake the clear image of the woman. I went through family albums in my great-aunt's house, but none of them resembled the woman. An old lady in the neighboring mining houses was being cared for by a family friend who happened to tell her about my ordeal. The lady told her that during the war, a woman had been murdered in one of the allotments and told her name, Maggie. Once we knew who she was, we never had any issues in that house from her again. It was as if she wanted us to know her story. Interesting and probably fairly straightforward, seeing as the activity ceased as they finally were able to recognize who this was.
Which is actually, if you're going to have a haunting, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we get it. We're okay. We acknowledge you. Sometimes, you know, I guess in life, you just need to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can let it go and move on. It's like, just got to hear me and notice me and acknowledge me.
I think that's true. I think a lot of it's just, it's striving to be understood and striving to be heard. I think that's one of the most frustrating things in the world is when you're trying to communicate something to someone and they just like, they change the subject or they're not hearing you or they just jump onto what they want to talk about or it's a, they just make it about them. And it's like, okay, no reaction at all, you know? And sometimes you just want to be heard, and that's all there is. And I think that's true in the ghost world too. Just, hey, I'm the one who's here. That's all.
Yeah.
Cool. We're good. And sometimes that can be the simplest thing to calming something down. I did find interesting, and what I loved in there, because it takes me back to the days I was playing radio station in my my bedroom, which is kind of what I do these days, except now people listen. when I had my boombox and I would tape songs off the radio as well, because I wanted to play them on my fake radio station for my cat. And when you're playing fake radio station, you want the whole intro because you want to talk up the song like the DJs do. But the last thing you want is the DJ to talk up the song talking up to the intro, because you don't want that. You want to just record the whole damn intro. And I remember struggling one whole summer trying to get the first three notes of John Cicada's If You Go onto my cassette tape because the DJs would always talk over that first little do-do-do-do. And for the life of me, I could never get it. Now, I could just go to the store and buy the cassette, but I don't think I had $10 to my name when I was eight.
You were a kid. You had the money.
So I was like always relying on the radio station. And I shit you not, one of the people who it really kind of, I guess, inspired me to get into commercial radio, even though I'd been playing it forever. Liz Seidel was her name, and she was the host on the station that I listened to. And I would call her every day with requests, and I would specifically ask her, okay, when you do my song, please don't talk over the intro. Can you do that for me? And inevitably...
Adorable.
Inevitably, she'd talk over the intro, but it would be, I would always request that so I could try and get it. And I reached out to her not long ago because she actually does shamanistic type work now. And I'd love to have her on as a guest on The Grave Talks, but I haven't heard back from her. I know she was out in Portland, Maine area, but I just remember one day being on the phone with her requesting a song, and she goes to me, "Tony, what do you want to do someday?" Like, I don't know. I was just kind of put on the spot. She's like, "Do you want to be a DJ? Because it seems to be that, like, when you," because she'd always like, "What's your favorite radio station?" And my response would be, Y96 FM, today's hits and yesterday's favorites. A whole positioning statement and all. And I could just rattle it all off. And I'm like, I think, yeah, it's a good idea. And then about a year and a half later, I was working at that station. But, it's just funny how, you know, you used to record songs off the radio to get them on tape. Oh, what we used to do for our songs. The struggles were real. Now you can just speak out loud and say, you know, device, play this, and boom, it starts playing in your house. I never, ever saw that coming. Did you?
I have to say, no. Not from when I was a kid.
No.
But when I professionally started in radio, yeah, once digital music started happening, mm-hmm. like, I just don't see how anybody never could have imagined it. You know what I mean?
I guess I was just so caught up in the amazement of having MP3s and how much you could fit onto, like, your computer. Yeah, and just how...
All that started happening,
Then
it was like, it just wasn't surprising that there would be a service that could provide you all everything you want, you know, because now I can just tell my car, like, hey, play John Cicada.
And I still do things so manually half the time anyhow, where I'm like typing into my phone, where I can literally just speak out loud and then it does it. And I still operate that way, I guess, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. You can speak out loud and tell any place in your house to start playing this show, and it will, you know, your device will say it. I'm not saying the names of those devices out loud right now because I have like three of them next to me and I'm going to set them all off. But it's just...
I have one, an Alexa, but I don't use it. I decided it was just a little creepy.
Listening a little too much?
Like, it was listening all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I need it? I can pick up my phone and get the temperature. And that was really all I was using it for.
I just use it for music when I'm cooking. I can just speak out loud, play this, and I enjoy it. And I'm still amazed by it every time. I'm just still like, this is neat. But I'm one of the last generations that knew the world prior to all of that as well. So we can still appreciate, you know, the how things have changed. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says this story is about my cousin's house, which was in Yorkshire. It was a three-story Victorian house on a small hill overlooking the ruins of a castle. To give you the general layout of the house, the front door, which nobody used, faced the castle. The back door led straight into the kitchen. The front of the house had a living room with the stairs in between. The two rooms up in the first floor was two bedrooms and a bathroom. And the loft conversion took up the attic. This was my cousin's bedroom. The house, even with all the windows, had a very creepy, dark feel to it. I was never comfortable in the house. I was only ever there in the day. The house had a deep, oppressive feel to it. My cousin had several creepy instances in that house. She was vacuuming down the stairs one day with her back to the bottom of the stairs. And as she was doing this, arms reached around her waist. Thinking it was her husband home early from work, she turned to talk to him, only to see a figure of a monk in black robes backing into the wall to disappear. Shaken by the event, she called her mom, who came around, and she probably mentioned my cousin was heavily pregnant at this point. When her mom arrived, she told her the story, and she was doing so. She heard a massive crash. She looked around the house a bit and could find no cause for the noise. My cousin put it down to hormones and went on with her day. Later, she went into the baby's room on the first floor to put things away, and when she opened the wardrobe, the rail had collapsed, and all the clothes were at the bottom of the wardrobe. She went to her room and found the same. All the rails in every wardrobe had collapsed. Freaking out, she sat in the kitchen waiting for her husband to come home, and when he did, she told him what had happened. Again, as she was telling the story, there was a loud bang. She walked to the stairs to find a mirror had fallen from the attic down two flights of stairs and landed at her feet unbroken. At this point, she was adamant she wanted to leave the house, but her husband was less than enthusiastic about the idea. A couple of weeks later, a lady knocked on the door claiming to be a psychic. She told my cousin that there were dark spirits in the house that meant her harm. She told my cousin that it was all linked to the castle, that the castle dungeon stretched deep underground all the way under my cousin's house. This house quickly went up for sale. The last event happened in that house occurred around the time that our grandmother's death occurred. Chris was still pregnant, carrying a little boy, and had a 2-year-old girl. Our grandmother was in the hospital with terminal cancer and told my cousin what a beautiful grandson she had. My cousin laughed and told Nan that she must have had one too many tablets as her daughter was a girl, but Nan was adamant. A few months after our grandmother passed and my cousin had given birth, our grandmother appeared in that house at the foot of my cousin's bed and told my cousin, "See, I told you you had a beautiful grandson." That's cool. Where she could see it while she was alive and then came back to make the point.
Like, that to me is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool ghost story because she didn't come back just to make the point. Like, there's a sense of humor about it. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, it's kind of sweet.
It is. It is very sweet. Have you ever had something in your house that is not paranormal, but you almost think it is, where you hear just insanely loud noises and it's like a crashing, almost exactly like what they described in that story. And then you look everywhere, or you think you looked everywhere, you can't explain it, and it takes you, you know, days almost to figure out what the heck happened.
No, I only had that happen to me one time, and I never did find out what it was.
Really?
It was, I think I shared this before. I was living in a house by myself. My dad actually had a room there, but he wasn't there that much because he was a truck driver at the time. So it's pretty much I live by myself, and my bedroom was in the basement. And I woke up thinking that someone had driven a car into my house.
Wow.
That's how loud. And when you're sound asleep and you wake up to something like that, and I was like, holy shit, what was it? And then, of course, that's when the lights are out to the staircase. That goes just like in a movie. But so I'm trying to get my dog to go upstairs, and she wouldn't go upstairs. And so I had to go up all the stairs to the kitchen before I could turn the light on. And then I turned the corner thinking I would see a car in my house.
Yeah.
And there was nothing there. I even went outside. There was nothing there. To the point, this is no shit, I actually called the cops.
Sure.
And I was like, was there an explosion, or did someone report an explosion? Because I just heard something.
Were you half asleep at all when this happened, or were you right away?
Okay. No, not half asleep. It was middle of the night. I was sound asleep.
Okay. That can happen. That's what they, I think we have talked about this. That's the exploding head syndrome is what it's called.
Well, it sounded like the exploding living room upstairs syndrome.
Yeah. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I've had that too. And I thought I was fully asleep, but I don't think I was when I look back on it. And I've had it where I've manifested like the sounds of normal everyday things, almost like the door shutting, like very specific doors, like front door shutting, you know, doors you identify. But I've heard, you know, big bangs and things like that, and I get up and there's nothing there. So I've had that very similar thing happen too. I did have one though, where it's actually what happened in this story. It was in an apartment in Michigan. I was doing a morning show. And so I would go to bed fairly early because I had to get up super early. So I go to bed 8 or 9 at night, and I'm laying in bed. It's like 8:30, and I hear this just insane crashing sound. And I didn't know what the hell it was. And I walk all around this apartment. It's just a 2-bedroom apartment. It's really not that big. But I'm like, what was that? And I'm thinking, well, because it sounded so damn close to me. And I checked every room. And I'm thinking, well, it's an apartment building. You know, maybe it is, you know, the neighbors. But it just sounded so close. And I ended up going back to bed. And I had my clothes ready for the next day already. I had put those into the bathroom because I had a routine of just getting out of that house within 5 minutes of waking up so I could just get to the station. And I did not go into my closet at all. And when I was looking to figure out what was going on, for some reason, I also did not go into my closet. I don't know why, but I didn't. And the next day I get home and I'm going into my closet. Well, that's exactly what happened. All of the racks collapsed onto the ground. God. So whoever installed them didn't put, like, they didn't screw into studs and they didn't have any of the bracing in there, you know, for holding weight. They just put screws into drywall. And so when I hung all my clothes on this rack in there, it collapsed. And then I had to figure out how to get it back up into the wall. But it was a mystery to me. I was kind of creeped out because it was one of my, you know, earlier nights there. I just recently hung all my stuff up and this weird unexplained noise. But it's startling, you know, when you hear stuff like that, whether it is something where it's very explainable or it is a mental thing like the exploding head syndrome, or it's something legitimately paranormal. You want an answer. And if you don't get that answer, it can be haunting, pardon the pun. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that one with us. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Yes, we do this show year-round. If you're just catching us for the first time here in October of 2020, welcome! We do this thing all year long. I've been doing it for almost 8 years now. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the show, because God knows ghost stories are a hell of a lot more calming than the news. Until next time, and to be an EPP, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.